Okay, welcome back to the show from a Blanket Fort recording studio in a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood. This is People Pleaser. I'm Austin Archer, and yeah, I guess I'm still doing these. This is a new episode, and it's raining in Los Angeles. It's been raining for 4 days straight. I love it. The TikTok digital studio audience is here with us. We got 85 people here, which is nice. Who knows how long TikTok will let me talk tonight before they ban my live access again. They pretty much ban me every single time I've tried to do this this year. Since they're probably gonna ban me at some point, I might as well get out of the way at the top of the show. Patreon.com/AustinArcher. It's $1 a month. I changed that price a couple months ago just to make it really, really accessible. It's like $10 for the entire year. You know, like the cost of a cup of coffee for an entire year. You get all the content over on the Patreon. All of my content goes there first, often with bonus content that gets edited out of the public versions. And it also, I make a lot of exclusive content over there, content that only goes to Patreon. So shout out to the Patreon community. What's up? You guys are the best. Patreon.com/AustinArcher, linked in all of my bios, or you can just type it into a browser, old-fashioned style if you want. But that's just a little bit of information for the TikTok digital studio audience, a little bit of information for all of you over on YouTube or Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to be getting this show right now. This is People Pleaser. We're back. We're back doing it. And today I am talking about the weird paradoxical phenomenon of how you can be kind of wrong even when you're definitely right. I don't know if anybody's been watching Pluribus. I'm not going to spoil the show. I really like it so far. There's been a lot of online discussion about the main character and how unlikable she is. There's a lot of people that are like, I don't know if I can get into this show. The main character is a downer. She's a drag. And I mean, the log line of the show is the most miserable person on earth has to save humanity from happiness. So I mean, you know, like I think it's kind of silly to be upset that the show is about the most miserable person on earth, and you're like, I don't really like the character that they came up with for the most miserable person on earth. I wish she would tell more jokes. You know, it's fine that people have opinions. Everybody's allowed to have an opinion, but sometimes I feel like people's opinions on the internet are just like, I wish this show was about something other than what it's about. It's like turning on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and being like, does every episode have to be in Philadelphia? Would it kill them to go to Boston once in a while? Turning on Curb Your Enthusiasm and being like, this guy didn't have a lot of enthusiasm, okay? Like, I feel like I need a main character who's a little more enthusiastic if I'm going to get into this show. But yeah, it's fine if you don't like the show. That's fine. It's very well reviewed, and people are enjoying it so far. No spoilers. But the thing about the main character, Carol, and I can talk about this in an abstract way, is she does some things through the first three episodes that, like, you could make a really good argument are bad and wrong. She behaves in ways that are off-putting. And even before and after the trauma that she endures, she does kind of seem like a downer. She just seems like kind of a pessimist, kind of a cynical person who has a hard time enjoying life and seeing the good things in life. And you could argue that. You could definitely look at it and go like, man, like she's not doing a lot of things that I agree with here. But you could also absolutely argue, and I think that this like definitely is, I think this is definitely true of the show, that she is 1000% justified in her behavior. Her response to what is happening to her makes perfect sense. Like, it's a very justifiable anger that she has, and depression that she has, and grief that she has. It really makes sense why she feels the way that she feels and why she's behaving the way that she's behaving. So she's not wrong about the circumstances that she finds herself in. It's just that in her rightness, her behavior is manifesting in ways that still feel wrong. And that's what I mean when I say this is, it's like this weird confounding paradox where sometimes you're just like, I'm right about this. I'm definitely right about this, but the behavior's still not cool. It's still not chill. To everyone else around you, it's like, yeah, you might be right, but you're still an asshole. I really struggle with that. Part of the reason why there haven't been a lot of episodes of People Pleaser is because 2025, I don't know about everybody out there, but 2025 has just really broken me more than any other year in the Trump era of American politics has. And maybe it's just because we were so damn close to being done with it. You could taste it. Even during the whole 4 years of the Biden administration, you knew that he was coming back. You knew that, like, he was mounting his comeback. And we got to watch, you know, kind of with this, like, anticipatory terror as Project 2025 got rolled out and they started talking about things like Schedule F. And then Joe Biden steps down, Kamala Harris steps in, and at least from my vantage point, I had not seen a swell of enthusiasm from the voting bloc on the left like the one that I saw for Kamala Harris, at least since Barack Obama. But, like, the only thing that maybe rivals it is the way that Bernie enthusiasts canvassed and got out and mobilized for Bernie during his initial presidential run. But even that, it's like, I've never bought political merch in my life. I've never bought, like, a bumper sticker or a hat or a t-shirt. And I had a Kamala Brat shirt that I was wearing. Like, I was drinking the Kamala Kool-Aid because I just liked the idea of people being energized and mobilized by something. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not delusional to the point where I think that Kamala Harris was going to be the savior of the country, the savior of democracy. I definitely don't think Kamala Harris was going to usher in a new utopic era of leftist values that were, you know, and policies that were going to kind of reshape American economic policy and reshape our society into something that was finally more equitable, and we were going to finally have a reckoning of, like, racial justice and racial inequality and just sort of justice for all marginalized communities. I definitely wasn't under any delusional spell thinking that that was where we were headed, but it was just the idea of having at least a candidate that, like, people could go, okay, we can work with that. We can work with that. Offering people $25,000 credits for first-time homebuyers, like, yeah, okay, yeah, that's something. We can work with that, you know? And what she really represented was just, like, the possibility of the fact that she could have held office for two terms, which would have meant 12 years of an executive branch that does not have a Republican in it, you know, like 12 years of uninterrupted opportunities to work with the Democratic Party on passing progressive legislation. And it's that, you know, argument that a lot of people were making during the election cycle where it was like, cool, yeah, you don't like the Democrats. You feel like they're just Republican light. Who would you rather argue with? Who would you rather organize under? Who would you rather put pressure on to pass the kind of policies that you want to see passed? And at least in my perspective, it's like an obvious answer. It's just I would much rather put pressure on a Kamala Harris administration and the Democratic Party to push for the legislation that I would like to see and progressive policies. I would much rather have to debate with them than have to deal with rampant authoritarianism and an executive branch that has filled every federal agency with loyalists and that just answers to no one and is just doing whatever it wants. So yeah, I was excited about the idea of potentially killing the Trump political era, like the end of it, and then it didn't happen. My immediate feeling, my immediate thought was, oh God, I have minimally at least 4 more years of doing this. Like 4 more years of the same exact conversations. It's so exhausting to be stuck in this Groundhog Day meat grinder of just waking up every day to an internet that seems to have forgotten that it already made those arguments and we already debunked those arguments and we've already moved on and we've already done that 1,000 times. That it's like, we did it. Like that one is done. We can move on now. And they just, you wake up the next day and conservative America is just like, what about this one? And you're like, no, we did that one. We did that one like 15 years ago and then every day since then, and we're done with it. Now, can you please have a new thought? This year, it really psychologically and spiritually and emotionally kind of took the wind out of my sails. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's not just the podcast that slowed down. It's like all of my content creation has slowed down. The place that I honestly am producing the most for right now is Patreon. Like, that's the only place I can actually get consistent energy to produce on. I feel like every time I sit down to make a video, it's just a video I've already made before. It's just a video I've already made many, many times before. It's just an argument that's already been made by me multiple times and by so many other people multiple times. And it all just, it's a level of like intellectual and spiritual stagnation and creative stagnation that's really hard to get like excited about. It's really hard to sit down and be like, here we go. Well, I guess we'll just explain that there's more than two chromosomal orientations again. I've already made this video so many times, but let's do it again. And really, I think it began for me, like where I really realized like, oh geez, it's so much worse than it used to be, is at the inauguration in January when Elon Musk did a Sieg Heil in front of the entire world twice. And then tens of millions of Americans went, no, that's not what he did. That's not what that was. It was an awkward gesture. It was an autistic stim. I was talking about this with a friend the other day, and she was like, you've got a really big problem with that moment, don't you? Because like I brought it up, and she was like, I watch you online. You talk about that a lot. She's like, you bring that up a lot. And I was like, yeah, I do. I fucking do. And she was like, yeah, I've noticed. Like, you have a really hard time getting past that one, don't you? I'm like, oh, absolutely. Like, to me, it was the moment where it was like, oh, we live in a absolutely fractured reality. It was already clear from so many different things throughout the Trump, political era that we weren't seeing objective reality the same way as the MAGA cult was, and that fractured sense of what is real and what is true was bleeding into so many different areas of our culture and making otherwise reasonable and rational people still kind of be like, I don't know. I don't know what's real. I don't know what's true, because so many people are telling me that this thing I can clearly see with my eyes and clearly hear with my ears isn't what I'm seeing and hearing. So I don't know what to think, because it makes me feel weird that like tens of millions of people are telling me that I'm brainwashed. And it's just, I already did a podcast on this too. I already did a whole episode on it. I'll link it in the description. You can watch that whole episode after this one. But throughout the first, 9 years or so of the Trump political era, it was always like different levels of dog whistles and foghorns of, kind of coded speech that was alluding to their Nazi beliefs and Nazi tendencies, but they would never just come out and say it. Nobody would just come out and be like, you know what, guys? We all really like Hitler. Like, we're Nazis. Like, what else do you want me to say? Like, what they would do is just sort of like a speechwriter for the president would just like write a big paragraph into one of his speeches that's almost word for word an excerpt from Mein Kampf, but change just enough words that people could pedantically be like, it's not an exact quote. And then you'd be like, okay, I guess, yeah, it's not an exact quote. Or the president would say something like, immigrants are vermin that are poisoning the blood of the country. And you'd be like, that's a Hitler thing. That's a Nazi thing to say. And people would be like, oh, he didn't mean it like that. And there's always like this weird veneer of plausible deniability. But the Elon salute, the Sieg Heil that happened at the inauguration was like, this is not coded language. This is not a dog whistle. This is not a, if you know, you know. This isn't 1488, wink, wink, wink. This is just, hey, everybody, that's right. We are who you think we are. We are Nazis, and we won. Nana, nana, boo, boo. Stick your head in doo-doo. That moment really broke my brain, and it started off the year, and then everything after that just kind of kept affirming that it was just like, oh, nothing means anything anymore. And I think I've always had like a snarky and mean streak in me when it comes to conservative Christianity, and the people who really pushed that ideology. I think I've always sort of had like a kind of a bite to the content that I produce. I don't think I've ever been particularly known on the internet as like a really level-headed, nice guy who's really, really soft with people and who gives people like a really soft place to land when they're beginning to deconstruct from some of their toxic ideologies that they were raised with. Sometimes I can be that guy. Sometimes I can be really nice. But I think the whole time that I've been doing this as my job full time, I've also had the bite. I just don't think I've ever had quite as much like don't give a fuck bite, like mean bite, angry bite, exhausted bite as I have in 2025. And I think people in my audience and certainly people in my life have noticed it. They've begun to notice and comment regularly on the fact that I seem angrier than usual. I seem, you know, more upset and more kind of emotionally exhausted. And I seem, you know, like I'm not doing great. And the truth is, like, they're right. I am angrier. I am more upset. I am sadder. I am more exhausted, and I am not doing great. Like, my mental and emotional health is not great. It's really, really hard for me to find homeostasis and find some kind of equilibrium in the current world. I go to the movies a lot, and it's college football season, and I watch college football. Like, I try my best to invest it, my energy and attention into things that aren't just how the rise of authoritarianism is ruining everything. But it's hard. It's really hard to kind of be aware of what's going on in the world, to be woke, and to not be upset by it. So all that being said, it's like, I'm Carol from Pluribus a little bit this year, right? Like, I've kind of been an asshole this year. I give fewer fucks. You might even say I'm out of the fucks I used to have to give. And I might be a little, like the edge might be a little sharper this year than it used to be. And the people who are close to me, like the people in my family who want, you know, they just, I know that it comes from a good place of like, they're just like, we just want you to be happy. I think that it's alarming, you know? And sometimes there are people who are in my life who I know are conservative, who have been the target of my ire and my anger, where I've just been like, you know what? I used to give you a pass, and now I can't give you the pass. Now I've got to yell at you. Like, I used to just try to go, hey, let's agree to disagree, and we'll just not talk about this. But now, like, if you can't give me an honest adult conversation about it, I might have to just yell at you and be mean to you. And I've done that, and it doesn't feel great when I do it. Like, immediately after I do it, I just feel like, oh, that kind of sucked. Like, that hurt to do. Like, that made me feel bad about me. It didn't make me feel any better about the state of the world. It just made me feel like a shitty person. And that comes back to the title of the show, is like, how even when you're right, you can be kind of wrong sometimes, you know? There's this concept in 12-step work. I think it's no secret to a lot of people who have been following my work for a long time that I'm in AA. I do 12-step work. And there's this concept of justified resentments, and how justified resentments are some of the most dangerous kinds of resentments. It's one of the most dangerous things to the long-term spiritual and emotional sobriety and health of an addict. And I've even done an episode on this before. I've done an episode of this podcast on justified resentments and the long-term problematic effects of justified resentments. I feel like every resentment that I have this year in 2025 is 100% justified. Like, I don't think I'm wrong to be upset about the things that I'm upset about. That being said, does it justify my behavior? And also, is my behavior helpful? Is it useful? Is it helping the cause? And sometimes I would say, yeah. Sometimes I would say, you know, people need to know that they're not alone in their anger, that they're not alone in their frustration. Sometimes it's cathartic, and sometimes catharsis can act as a release for people who do feel like they're alone, who do feel isolated in their anger. But yeah, it's like, I've even had all kinds of physical health problems. I've got all kinds of problems in my gut, and like, I've, you know, things that are like ulcers and things getting inflamed and having surgeries and things getting taken out. And I genuinely think it's a result of all of my anger and frustration. And I think it's like it's physiologically manifesting in my body. So again, just because I'm right and my anger is justified doesn't mean that it's necessarily like good for me. It's Carol from that show. Again, no spoilers, but her whole thing is like, yeah, I get it. I get how my anger and my grief and my frustration is causing issues right now. I get that. But also, like, I'm not wrong that this is fucked up. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough, dude. I will say this, though, before moving on into the next section of the show. I was talking with my parents about this, you know, the other day, and I said to them, I said, I know that being the kind of guy that I am, being a loudmouth, being a person who is incredibly verbose and has no short way of arguing anything, being a person who does what I do, and I have a public-facing platform where I talk as much as I talk about my ideas and my thoughts, it really does come off sometimes like I think I'm right about everything. And as I said that, my mom was like, "You think?" She kind of said sarcastically, like confirming the fact that people in my family and people in my life sometimes do get that vibe. And maybe people in my audience get that vibe sometimes, that it's like, I like Austin, but also it is a little annoying that he does seem to think he's right about everything. He doesn't really seem to have the self-awareness to know that there are some topics that he might just have the wrong take on. And so I first just want to say I'm aware of that. I'm aware of the optics of it and how it can look. And I'm aware, you know, of like how off-putting that can be to be dealing with someone who seems to think they're right about everything all the time. And also, I want to say it's just categorically untrue. Like, I am self-aware enough to know that that's how I come off. And I also know that that's not true. I do not believe that I'm right about everything all the time. Not even close. I am wrong about stuff literally every single day of my life. There are so many things that I don't know. And there are so many things that I am well aware I don't know. There are so many people who I interact with on a day-to-day basis who are smarter than me and who know more things than me. I think what's going on is when it comes to my work and the socio-political commentary that I do, particularly as it pertains to talking about the problems with conservative Christian ideology, like poking holes in the arguments and philosophy of conservative Christians in the modern age, when I'm talking about those people and those are my, you know, philosophical interlocutors, like those are the people with whom I am debating, if you will, or having a discussion with, it's not that I believe I am right about everything. It's that I believe those people are wrong about almost everything. And that is an important distinction. It's not that I'm right about everything. There's plenty that I'm not right about, or just plenty that I am undereducated or underinformed about. It's just that when it comes to this thing, when it comes to like the American political spectrum, conservative Christians just, they don't have any of it correct at all. So I guess this is the part of the show where I just say, I started off the show acknowledging you can be kind of wrong even when you're right, and justified resentment can be a kind of poison that eats you from the inside out. It's literally eating me from the inside out right now. I've been in the doctor's office and in the hospital several times over the last 4 months. So I wanted to start off the show with like acknowledging that I know that this isn't necessarily working for me. And now I'm just going to actually maybe purge some of this stuff, and I'm going to give my justification for why I feel the way that I feel. I'm gonna kind of double down on it, even though I've acknowledged that it might not be working for me. I guess what I want to do here is just explain why I have such a hard time respecting the fundamental position of people on the right, of conservative Christianity. And that kind of brings us into this next section of the video, because I want to be able to speak to people as human beings and kind of go like, hey, I want to respect where you're coming from, the foundation of where you're coming from, and be able to have a respectful back and forth, knowing that we're just two people who are trying our best to make sense of a confusing world and everything. But it's just, in so many ways, conservative Christianity fails at the most basic, simple tests of logic and reasonability and rationality. It becomes almost impossible to show a base level of respect for these people. It's like, I need you to rise to a certain standard of respectability before I can even begin respecting where you're coming from. And so many of these people, so just millions of these people, are failing to rise to like the most basic level of what, where I could like begin to respect a person's perspective. I'm going to list here a bunch of reasons that I came up with that make it really, really hard for me to respect these people. And then I'm going to turn it over to the TikTok Digital Studio audience. We got about 200 people over here now. That's nice. And I'll let them tell me if I left any out. Like, that's the crazy thing is this is going to be the tip of the iceberg. I'm not even going to be scratching the surface here, but this is what I kind of came up with. The first thing I wrote down is they love this new slogan. First of all, they love slogans. Like conservative Christians love slogans. They care so much more about a catchy slogan than they do about data or about just things that are true. And again, this is such a hard thing for me to intellectually respect. It's so hard to respect someone's position when it's just like, you just kind of like the way that sounds, don't you? Like, you like the way that rolls off your, like, that's a sentence that's easy for you to say, and that's why you like that. And, you know, the first one that came to my mind is, Democrats don't understand that we live in a constitutional republic, not a democracy. Every single time a conservative Christian says that, they think they are eating. They think they are absolutely dropping this, like, crazy truth bomb. And it's so infuriatingly stupid because for anyone with even the most basic literacy, political literacy, you understand that a constitutional republic is just a form of democracy. And so it just sends you like spiraling down this thought spiral of like, wait, what are you talking about? And why is this a slogan that you guys care about? First of all, I swear to God, when I was growing up, Republicans weren't trying to push against the idea that America is a democracy. I swear to God, when I was growing up, Republicans and conservatives were trying to like wage war in the Middle East so that we could bring the gift of democracy to these people who were, oppressed by Sharia law and by a theocratic authoritarian government. I swear to God, that's how I remember it. And now that we are in the era of outright, unashamed fascism, Republicans and conservatives go on the internet every single day and go, we don't actually live in a democracy. It's not actually a democracy. It's just the same fucking thing. It's just the same thing, and they don't understand what the words mean. But the dumber reason for this, like, I really think this is true, and I've never actually seen any one of them admit this, but I think this is true. I think the reason why they like to say this slogan is because Constitutional Republic has the word republic in it, and republic sounds like Republican, and democracy has the word democra in it, which sounds like Democrat, and it's that stupid. It's just people who are like, the one sounds like my thing and the other one sounds like the other thing. And I like the one that sounds like my thing more. How am I supposed to respect that? How am I supposed to be like, I see where you're coming from. Like, respect. I can respect your position there. Obviously, you don't know that a constitutional republic is the same thing as a democracy. You clearly don't know what either one of those words mean. But I respect the fact that you like the way one sounds more like the political party that you vote for, and the other one sounds more like the political party that you don't like. I respect the way that your brain recognizes those patterns in the words. That's respectable. It's like trying to have like a respectful conversation with a toddler.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and let's move on. Speaking of not understanding what words mean or what forms of government are, just not understanding what socialism or Marxism or communism is. And like, you know, it's fine that you don't know, but when you pretend to know, when you constantly get on the internet and go like, this is what socialism does, and you're posting photos that are literally just the result of capitalism, like people getting on the internet and being like, you know, if you let in a socialist government, if you let the government control food and subsidize food, the government can starve you. And saying that at a time that your capitalist oligarchic billionaire class government was literally starving people during this government shutdown. I mean, now it's the government's going to reopen, but they were planning on taking away people's SNAP benefits and not letting people have food for Thanksgiving because the Democrats wouldn't let them hike everybody's healthcare premiums up. It's really hard to respect that. It's really hard to respect that a person has misgivings about communism or misgivings about Marxism or misgivings about democratic socialism without actually knowing what those things are. It's just a fundamental ignorance that they have on the topic, and that makes it really hard to respect. Like, again, it's okay not to know something. The problem is that you aren't capable of acknowledging that you don't know something. It's okay if I'm fundamentally ignorant on how an mRNA vaccine actually is made and works. Like, that's okay. But if I go around and pretend like I do know how it's made and that I do know that it is definitely causing autism, that's a problem. Like, there's nothing wrong with not knowing something. There's nothing wrong with just having a gap in your knowledge on something and being like, I actually haven't studied that thoroughly to be able to say I actually know how that works. That's totally fine. That's human. That's relatable. That's respectable. What's not relatable, what's almost impossible to respect, is watching people over and over and over again pretend they know about things that they clearly don't know the first fucking thing about. Speaking of not knowing the first fucking thing about anything, this other slogan that Republicans love, that Democrats founded the KKK. Did you know that Republicans freed the slaves and Democrats founded the KKK? Better think about that before you vote next time. Better think about that. Better learn your history, that it was actually the Republican Party that freed the slaves, and it was the Democrat Party that actually founded the KKK, so you better learn about that. They fucking love this one. They love this one, and then this is one of those things that I was talking about at the beginning of the show, where it's like, we just can't stop doing the same arguments over and over and over and over again. Every time I see this one on the internet in 2025, I'm just like, no way. There's no way. There's no way this has never been explained to you. I just don't believe it. And this is where we start to get into the territory of, like, I'm not gonna respect liars. Like, I'm not going to respect people who know they're lying and are lying anyway. I have a really hard time believing it, A, because every time I see someone post this, their comments are full of, like, at least 1,000 people going, okay, so explain to us who the KKK supports and votes for now in the year 2025, in the 2024 election. Who did the KKK endorse and vote for? Who do white supremacists vote for in the modern era? Like, I know that you've heard that rejoinder before. I know that you've heard the rejoinder before of, okay, the Republican Party, when Abraham Lincoln was president, freed the slaves. Why then does the Republican Party of today get so mad every time we talk about taking down statues of slaveholders? I know you've heard this argument before. I know someone's pointed it out to you before. Now you're just a liar. Now you're a person who I'm like, first of all, I can see in your comments that people are pointing out to you, hey, why does the KKK support the Republican Party today? And hey, if the Republican Party freed the slaves, why are you mad every time we try to take down statues of slave owners? How can I show adequate respect for a belief that I don't actually think you actually have? Like, I don't actually think you actually think that the modern party of white supremacy is the modern Democratic Party. I don't think you actually think that. I don't think it's possible that you actually think that. So how can I say, I respect where you're coming from? I get that. I respect where you're coming from. When where you're coming from is a lie. You are consciously lying to me. I put this in the same category as every time conservative Christians post, how can we only have one day for veterans, but a whole month for gay people? Whole month for gay pride? How did we let this happen? How did we let this happen? Our veterans. It used to be that this only happened every June, but now it's just like every day I see this. Every single day I see someone saying this, and I'm like, okay, so this is just an everyday thing right now. It's November right now. November is one of the many months that we have to celebrate veterans. We are currently in the middle of one, but like people will post this in May. They'll literally, like, in the month of May be like, we should have a military appreciation month instead of a Gay Pride Month, and May is Military Appreciation Month. And again, you could say, maybe they just don't know. Maybe they're just ignorant, Austin. You know, have some grace. Respect the fact that not everybody knows all the things that you know, except the fact that in their comments, everyone is going, May is Military Appreciation Month. We are currently in Military Appreciation Month. If you want to celebrate veterans, do it right now. Throw a fucking parade. Throw a party. Invite all the veterans you know. Throw a barbecue. Do something about it. You can celebrate them any fucking time you want, and you know this. They know, and they're pretending not to know. How am I supposed to be respectful about a position that I know you don't actually believe? I know you know that position is wrong. I know you're lying. Your entire worldview, like your entire ideology, is just stuff that you're pretending to think is true, even though you know it's not. That means that, like, nothing about your identity is anything that I can take seriously. That means that, like, your entire worldview is nothing. There's nothing there. There's no substance to it. There's no foundation to be able to look at and go, I get that. I get that. I can respect that. Let's move on. Taxing billionaires won't work. Conservatives are obsessed with this one. Like, this is one where it's just sort of like you are failing at basic math so terribly. I don't know how to just be like, hey, I get it. Economics are complex. Again, this is not Austin is right about everything. Austin's the smartest person in the world. I don't know everything about economic philosophy, what would actually make the best economic system for the world, but I can do just basic arithmetic. Johnny is worth $100,000. He's out to dinner with Megan, Nathan, and Stan. Megan, Nathan, and Stan are collectively worth about 10 cents. The bill for dinner is $200. Who should pay for dinner? It's not a trick question. It's not something that you have to be like, What answer are they wanting me to? It's Johnny. Johnny should pay for dinner because $200 for dinner is, it's not going to make a dent in Johnny's total $100,000, right? And also, Megan, Stan, and whatever the person else's name I said, I can't remember what the third name I said was, they couldn't do it if they wanted to. That's the other thing, is like, they're literally incapable of doing it. And when we say some people can't afford groceries, even people with jobs, and the government's like, we can subsidize that, but it's hard to find the money for that. And then we're like, some kids are going to school without lunches. Could we maybe subsidize their lunches? So kids at public schools, not only is their schooling paid for, a public school, with our taxes, could their lunches be paid for as well? And the government's just like, I don't know where we're going to come up with all the money for this, guys. I don't know. I mean, I guess we're just going to have to tax you guys more in the working class. And conservatives are like, yeah, that makes sense. I don't want something for nothing. We just got to work harder. And people who want a handout, nah, they just got to work harder. And they don't give a fuck that there are like a few hundred people in the country who could pay for all of that shit, who we could tax them at 90% for the rest of their lives, and we could take 90% of their yearly income every year for the rest of their lives and easily pay for all of that shit. Universal healthcare for everybody, universal education for everybody. Everybody gets a fucking house, free lunches while you're in school for everybody. Just, we could pay for all of that shit, fix all of the infrastructure, you know, just make sure, just take care of everybody. And those people, those few hundred people, would still be the wealthiest people alive. And conservatives are like, what needs to happen in this thought problem is Megan and Stu and the other person, they just need, if they can't afford dinner, they need to work until they can. They need to go back and they need to wash dishes so they can pay off the $200 tab. Or Johnny can just pay it and Johnny will be fine. He'll be totally fine. It won't make a dent. And it's just, it's like you're failing at such a like basic arithmetic problem. It's just sort of like, oh, there's just a small handful of people who have so much more wealth and so many more resources than the collective total of the rest of mankind. And those people should just be chipping in more. That's it. That's it. By the way, conservatives have no problem getting a handout because conservatives are statistically the most likely to be, you know, on SNAP benefits or using subsidized healthcare. They also love it anytime Donald Trump says he's going to send them a stimulus check. He's going to send them a $5,000 Doge check. He's going to send them a $2,000 tariff check. And doesn't matter that he's not actually going to do those things, but they're like, please give me the money. They love that shit. If Donald Trump says, hey, how about a handout? They're like, well, yeah, please. I remember when Harris was running for president and she was talking about capital gains taxes for people who are worth over $100 million. The amount of conservatives that I talked to who were like, it's an insane idea. Capital gains tax? That's crazy. She's going to come for money that's hypothetical that I have in the stock market that I haven't even cashed out yet. And the amount of people that I had to explain, like, she's talking about a policy that is going to affect people who are worth at least $100 million. Not only are you not worth $100 million, you probably don't even know anyone who's worth close to $100 million. The wealthiest person you've probably ever met is maybe worth like $20 or $30 million. Like, I don't think you have even the first clue how much fucking money $100 million is. If a person makes $1 billion in a year and you tax 90% of that income, that person makes, after taxes, $100 million, and $100 million alone, just that amount of money, is money to make sure that a family line is never poor. Like, you can hypothetically never run out of money if you continue to just invest that money correctly and just get, you know, and just let that money grow through generations. Just $100 million. And we got people out here talking about being fucking trillionaires, dude. And conservatives are just like, I think they should. I think some people should be a trillionaire. And I think I should still just live just above the income where I have to be on government subsidized food assistance. And as long as I'm just above it, I definitely think that go ahead and raise my taxes as much as you want. Raise them until I am no longer above the line for requiring government subsidized food assistance. Trans people don't actually exist. This is another one down the list. It's just a mass delusion. It's mental illness. At least with like gay people, conservative Christians have a very, very flimsy foothold in that their magic book seems to reference something about, you know, a man lying with another man is an abomination in the book of Leviticus. And, you know, there's discussion that can be had about whether or not that's an accurate interpretation of what the original text of that book actually said, because the book has been rewritten and rewritten and rewritten and retranslated so many times. It's a game of telephone that no one can actually tell what the original text said. And also, the book didn't even say the word homosexual until the 1940s. It's that recent of an edition where they actually added that word, but their book doesn't say anything at all about being transgender. And usually what Christians say is they're like, the fact that it's not mentioned is all you need to know. And it's just this thing of like, since it's not in the book, that means I get to make up what God's opinion on these people is. That's not how anything works. That's stupid. But also, I don't think that your magic book is real. So who cares what the fuck your magic book says anyway? Even if your magic book said 100 times that being trans is bad and it makes God really mad, I still wouldn't care. I wouldn't care that your magic book says that, even though your magic book doesn't say that. You can't just say a group of people don't exist when I know them, dude. Like, I'm sorry, I'm friends with them. I don't just believe in it because I have faith in it. It's not just like, I went to church one day and I sang a song and it made me feel good in here. And now I think the Bible's real. And I think that creationism is real. And I think that the world and the universe was made by a magic guy who lives in space and watches people jerk off. Like, that's not why I believe trans people are real. I believe trans people are real because I know them, because I'm friends with them. Cause I go get coffee with them and I talk to them and I like they're right there. I can see them. When conservatives go like, it's just science, science, Science just says there's two genders. It's just one of two. First of all, there's just nothing in the realm of science that supports a binary. Nothing. There's absolutely nothing that you can point to that supports a binary in sex or gender. Sex and gender are two different things. That's the first failing that most conservatives make when it comes to their understanding of biological reality and biological science, is that sex and gender are two different things. Sex characteristics pertain to the physiological characteristics of a person, and whether or not that person has more physiological characteristics that are usually in line with being identified male at birth, or more physiological characteristics that are typically aligned with being identified female at birth. That has nothing to do with gender, which gender is this socially constructed performance of identity that, and the expectations of like what a boy or a girl or a woman or a man should be, or a non-binary person. And it's this whole different concept. And the basic, like, all you need to understand, if you don't want to go do the academic work to read all of the books and understand the actual realities of human biology, all you really need to break it down to is like what your experience with people, when you're out talking to human beings, does it seem to you like there are just two kinds of people? Like there's just like, you're either this or that. You're either a one or a two. You're either an A or a B. Does that seem to, like, does that honestly seem to be your experience? And if you say it is, I'm gonna have a hard time respecting you. Even if you're from a small conservative town where most people, where it's just like 99% of the men in this town are the same guy, and 99% of the women in this town are the same girl, like same woman. Even if that's the town you're from, I know you've met some people who go out, who live in the spectral margins of that. I know you have. I know if you've had a human experience that you've met more than two kinds of people, if you're being honest. And again, conservatives will just proudly with their full chest be like, sorry, facts don't care about your feelings. And the facts, the scientific facts, say that there's just two. And it's just like, no, they fucking don't. Not at all. Not even a little bit. There is literally nowhere that you can point to that supports the idea of a binary. Last night, I was live streaming with my friend Forrest Valkai for, you know, The Line, and we had this guy call in who said that he was a progressive leftist, but that he struggled with trans ideology, and we had like an hour and a half conversation with this guy that was so frustrating, because we kept just trying to get, like, we couldn't get past the first thing, because it started off by being like, why do you think that sex is, because neither sex nor gender are binary. Like, neither one of these things are actually binary. There just are more than two classifications. There are more than two, you know, ways that these things present. And this guy was like, well, just because it is, it just factually is a binary. Like, sex and gender are the same thing. They are synonymous and they are on a binary. And so we were like, okay, sex and gender aren't the same thing, but we'll get there. Why do you think they're a binary? And every time he would say a thing that he thought was the binary, we'd be like, no, that's not true. Like, he started out with chromosomes and he was like, well, because there's just two chromosomal orientations. And we were like, well, no, that's not true. You understand that, right? Like, there are way more than two chromosomal orientations. And also, there are people who have XY chromosomes who have a developmental pattern that is that is more traditionally in line with a female developmental pattern than a male one. And there are people with XX chromosomes who have a developmental pattern that is more traditionally in line with a male developmental pattern than a female one. Like, there are intersex people. There are all kinds of variations. There's more than two. And he could already see that he was like, that we were going to get him on all of these things. So he moved to their latest favorite thing, which was large gamete production. He was like, well, there's only one sex that produces large gametes. So that means that the other one doesn't. That means there's only two. And then we were like, yeah, but some people with a uterus don't produce large gametes. Some people don't produce gametes at all if they have a uterus. So what about those people? And his response was, well, but they're supposed to. They should produce them. And I said, what the fuck does that mean? What does should mean? They don't. What do you mean scientifically, factually, when you say should? They do not. There is no should or should not. They don't, which means that they have a different physiological makeup than what you're saying, like, that goes outside of just the one or two. There is no place in sex or gender where you can find characteristics that only exist in one of two options. Just not a single one of them. It's just, by every serious observable metric, it's not a binary. And anyone that insists that it is, this is one area where I'm like, you might just be woefully arrogant or ignorant of the facts here, but also it's like, this is so easy to do your research on. Like, you shouldn't show up to a debate about whether or not sex and gender are binary with chromosomes. Like, you just, if you start there, it's like, boy, you didn't do, like, you didn't even bother to look into this. And we get back to that thing of like, it's okay to have gaps in your knowledge, it's okay to not know about things, but don't fucking pretend you know about things that you clearly don't know about. I can't respect the Dunning-Kruger effect. I can't respect dumb people who don't know how dumb they are. I can't. Lately, this is a big thing on the internet, but also conservatives have always been doing this. They just sort of make things up that they no, didn't happen, and they'll sort of mass meme them with like bot farms and rage bait accounts. But they'll just, like, lately the big thing is after Zohran Mamdani won the mayoral election in New York, they started posting like, Andrea Bocelli said that he's canceling all of his tour dates. He said, sorry, I don't sing for communists. Or like, sorry, New York, I don't sing for communists. And then they just had like the exact same meme over and over and over again with different singers. Like, Kid Rock said he's canceling all of his New York dates. He said, sorry, New York, I don't sing for communists. And it's like, whoever's producing these memes knows that that didn't happen, knows that's not a real quote, knows they're lying, and is just going on the internet being like, I know, like, what are you doing? What even is the point? You know, it's the same thing as going back to the Elon salute, right? Like, they all know what the salute is. Everybody knows what a Sig Heil looks like. And every time they see someone, a Democrat, do this on stage and go and wave, they clip it and they put it next to Elon and they go, oh, guys, is this, oh, is it a Nazi? And it's like, not only are you making it even more clear what a normal gesture looks like what throwing your heart out to the crowd actually looks like, you know, like open fingers, bent arm, palm open, fingers spread wide, waving, smiling, a wave. I'm doing it. Like, I have no problem. I'll do it over and over again. I'm doing it. Like, there's nothing offensive about it. Hello, TikTok Digital Studio audience. Thanks for being here, you guys. Oh, hi. But I won't do the other one, and neither will they. And it's like this weird thing where it's like, so we all understand what this means, right? Like, I said in a video the other day that it's like if you posted a video of someone fully smacking another person, Will Smith at the Oscars style, just a full wind up and just like a full open hand smack. And then you posted another video of someone like gently touching someone on the cheek. And you were just like, well, guys, okay. So when Elon Musk smacks someone in the face, you guys all freak out. But when Zohran Mamdani puts his hand on someone's cheek, that's fine. And it's like, yes, yes. What the fuck are we even talking about? And often with these clips, they'll even go as far as to edit the clips. Like with Cory Booker and with Zohran Mamdani, with Zohran, they sped up the clip. And with Cory, they went in and they sped up the clip and they also took out the wave. So like in the real clip, Cory, he taps his chest like this. He goes, oh, and then he waves and he waves his hand. And in the doctored clip, they take out the tap. They like make it so that his hand doesn't tap. And then they take out the wave. And it's like, so while you're doing that, like while you're in your editing software, editing this clip to look more like Elon Musk's, that just means you know what you're doing. Like, you know Elon Musk did a Sig Heil, and you need to edit Cory Booker's thing to make it look more like a Sig Heil, which means you know you support Nazis, which means, again, getting down, like, what the fuck are we even talking about here? How are people asking me to be more polite and respectful to people who know they're Nazis and just pretend that that's not the case? Just fucking gaslighting. Like, ooh, moving down the list. Okay, there's more things on the list, you guys. Being racist, being Islamophobic, being misogynistic, all of the fucking just overt bigotries. And then the playing dumb when it's like, oh, you just call everyone you don't like racist. Oh, everyone that disagrees with me is racist. And then just any opportunity to be racist, like the most mundane opportunities will present themselves to be racist. And these people cannot stop themselves. They just can't help themselves. How do I take people seriously who swear we're not racist and you guys are being unreasonable by calling us racist every time you disagree with us? And then every single time there's an opportunity to prove to me that you're not racist, to prove to me that you're capable of behaving like normal human beings, to just prove that like you aren't such a little freak all the fucking time. They just can't fucking help themselves. They're just like tripping over themselves to get to the comments and just say the most heinously racist shit imaginable for no reason. And it's like, guys, knock it off. The whole Zohran campaign, that whole thing where it was just like overt, shameless Islamophobia for just months and months and months. The only argument anyone had against him was like 9/11, 9/11, you guys, all of the Islamic people in the world did 9/11 and he's one of them, which means he did it too. It was all of them. Okay, there's a few things about ICE that are really hard to respect. First of all, like there's the whole just Nazis of it all, right? Like everything that's happened this year, just with them being increasingly more and more like Nazis. And, you know, first of all, like denying that the salute happened at the inauguration, denying all of the dog whistles that have happened over the years. But then like, just like, how can you watch footage of masked militant people with machine guns getting out of unmarked cars and like yanking people out of their cars and choke slamming them to the asphalt and just arresting them with no explanation and just go, yeah, that's normal. And like, they deserved it. And I've never, again, if I were to be able to be respectful about this position, if I were able to, like, in order for me to be able to go, I can respect where you're coming from with immigration, I would need you to be able to articulate what you think the problem is in a way that makes sense to me. Because every single time a conservative tries to explain what the issue with immigration is, it's just like completely factual bullshit that they heard the president say, that they're just like, well, it's criminals. And it's like, okay, the statistical data disagrees with you, shows that the overwhelming majority of people who have been detained by ICE have no criminal record, have not committed any violent crimes, have been living here for a very long time, have laid down roots here, they pay taxes here. They're not even necessarily beneficiaries of the taxes that they pay, but they pay taxes anyway. Like, we get billions of dollars in tax revenue every year from these people. They're contributing to services that you use and you benefit from, and they haven't committed any crimes, and your best defense is just like, they're criminals. Does the punishment fit the crime? Because you guys seem totally fine with everything from just blowing up boats off the coast of Venezuela to throwing people in concentration camps, again, to like masked men getting out of unmarked cars, holding machine guns, throwing people to the asphalt, descending out of Black Hawk helicopters, going into the bedrooms of children in the middle of the night, pulling these children out of their beds, zip tying them, kidnapping them from their families because you're like, they didn't have the right paperwork. It's a stance that is so hard to not see as overtly racist and also just incredibly stupid, just incredibly inhumane and disgusting, to be honest. Like, it's, I don't know how to talk to these people in a way where it seems like I respect them. The only way I could do it is if I were to lie, if I were to just pretend to respect where they're coming from. And that's also a really hard thing for me to do because I don't want to be dishonest. I don't want to emotionally manipulate them into listening to me by lying to them and pretending that they're not awful. Like, I feel like I have to be honest about how terrible it is because it is that bad. It's not just like it's not just like someone who's behaving kind of bad at a restaurant that you're at where you're like, oh, our friend was sort of being a little rude to the waitress, but that might be up for debate. Like, afterward in the car, some people might be like, I don't think he was being that rude. And there might be, you know, it's something where it's like maybe there can be a conversation that can be had. This is something where it's just like, I don't think that there's a good faith debate that could be had over whether or not these people are behaving conscionably. They're just simply not. Whether or not they're behaving respectfully, whether or not their positions are respectable, they simply fundamentally are not. Think about the entire saga that we've been on with the Epstein story this year. And this is probably when TikTok's going to kick me off the live stream as I talk about this. But the fact that, like, It started back in the campaign process for the 2024 election, campaigning on the promise that they were going to release this ledger with Jeffrey Epstein's clients, and they were going to drain the swamp, and they were going to take down the elites who went to this island and trafficked minors, and they were all buying tickets to the movie Sound of Freedom, and they were the party of, like, we're the ones who care about child sex crimes and kids being trafficked. And then he gets elected, and he you know, appoints Kash Patel, and Kash Patel says, oh, don't you worry, we're coming after them. Every last one of them, we're taking them down. And they're saying on the news, it's on Pam Bondi's desk any day now. And then they went, it doesn't exist. Actually, it's not real. It doesn't exist. There isn't one. Don't worry about it. It doesn't exist. And it's like, it's so crazy the quickness with which the hive mind just switches and goes, it doesn't exist, actually. It doesn't exist. And then they go, it actually does exist, but it's a Democrat hoax. It was made up by the Democrats, and everything on it is fake. It's fake. It's a Democrat hoax. And we go, well, that doesn't make sense. You said it doesn't exist. Now it does exist. And then Mike Johnson goes, actually, the reason why Donald Trump hung out with Epstein so much, the reason why he was over on the island, it's because he was an FBI informant. And we go, whoa, what? You were just saying it doesn't exist. Now you're saying it does exist, but Democrats made it up. And now you're saying, actually, it's a legit list. And the only reason why Donald Trump is all over the list is because he was an FBI informant. And like the next day, Mike Johnson was like, I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I said that. I misspoke. He was not an FBI informant. I shouldn't have said that. That was not true. And now we're back to, it's real, but we have to vote on whether or not we should release. We're trying to get to a vote on whether or not we should release it, but Republicans want to vote anonymously. And their base is watching them do this, and it's like nobody can ask the critical thinking question of, like, why would they want to vote anonymously? Why would they want to not have their vote seen, of like whether or not the list should be released? So all the Democrats say, no, let's not make the vote anonymous. Let's make the vote public. Let's make sure everyone can see who voted for releasing it and who didn't. And now they're saying, well, the Democrats, they blocked it. They blocked our efforts. We wanted to release it, but the Democrats wouldn't let us. And like the entire hive mind just goes, oh, the Democrats won't let them. They won't let them. They wanted to. They have the executive branch, the House and the Senate, but the Democrats wouldn't let them. And they've also pretty much got the Supreme Court and the entire DOJ. They've got all of it, but the Democrats wouldn't let them. And all the Democrats were doing was saying, like, no, like, let's vote on releasing them, but let's make sure that the vote is public so everyone can see who's voting for what, because we know we're going to lose the vote to release them. We just want to make sure that your base can see that you all voted against releasing them and that we all voted for releasing them. And just like the amount of times that the narrative in this saga has changed and they have just remained completely unfazed by it is absolutely mind-boggling. Moving on, not understanding the basic problem with guns. You know, we've got an epidemic of gun violence in this country. It's the number one cause of death for children. I can't believe that stat every time I say it, that the number one cause for death to children in America is gun violence. Like, that is the number one thing that kills kids. And every time it happens, we have a myriad of, it's again, this like never ending Groundhog Day meat grinder nightmare cycle that we're in, where every time it happens, which is like every couple weeks, conservatives get on the internet, say thoughts and prayers. Then they say, don't try to politicize this, you guys. Let's not talk about politics right now. And then when they do actually try to offer up potential solutions, they just say the dumbest shit you've ever heard. What if we had doors on the school that only locked one way so that when it was shown that an intruder gets in, the intruder gets locked in until the police can get there? And it's like, what you're saying is lock all the kids in the school with the gunmen and lock the gunmen in there too, and just don't let anybody out until the police get there? Jesus Christ, that's stupid. And then they'll say things like, well, what if all the teachers had guns? Yeah, that's good. What if all the kids knew that all of their teachers kept a gun in their desk, so that if there was any depressed kid that was having a bad day and wanted to check out early or wanted to take some of his classmates with him, he knows where to look because teachers got a gun in the desk? That sure makes sense. Then they'll say things like, we just need to have more of a police presence at all of these schools, as if we didn't go through the Uvalde situation where the entire police force of like the Tri-County area were all there and they just sat around for hours listening to kids being slaughtered. It's just such an obvious problem with such an obvious solution. We need to do something about how easy it is to access guns in this country. That's it. I didn't even say get rid of all the guns. I just said let's do something about how easy it is to access guns in this country. Why is that so fucking difficult? It's not. And again, this is a really difficult position to respect, especially considering the fact that they'll say, I have a constitutional right to have these guns so that I can protect myself against a tyrannical government. And then they will watch videos, again, of men in masks who are, you know, decked out with military gear, getting out of unmarked cars, arresting people without announcing why they're doing so, dragging them off the street, throwing them in the back of the car, and disappearing them. They'll watch that and they'll go, that's fine. That's not tyrannical government overreach. Tyrannical government overreach is asking people to wear masks during a global pandemic. These people are so insanely, colossally stupid. Do you see what I mean? Yet, again, this is not about me being incredibly smart or me being right about everything. I'm not even that smart. There are so many things that I just know nothing about. I saw a tweet one day that was like, I'm not smart enough to have this many people be so much dumber than me. And I feel that way all the time where I'm like, I'm not even that smart of a guy. It's just that, like, there are tens of millions of people in the world who are so unfathomably stupid that moving down the list, and speaking of unfathomably stupid, the struggle with pronouns. Listen, it would be one thing if conservatives simply did not want to respect the linguistic innovation of neo-pronouns. Like neo-pronouns are a relatively kind of new thing in the zeitgeist, or at least newly popularized thing. The idea of having more than just two options for gendered pronouns is, kind of a newer idea that has a newer popularity. And I mean newer in the sense of, like, 10, 15 years, in order to acknowledge the lived experience of gender diversity and gender diverse people. It would be one thing if I could actually maybe have a conversation that where we could, like, start off on a respectable footing if it was just people going, like, I don't want to respect this, like, change in language. I feel like the old pronouns work just fine and I don't want to respect neo pronouns. But it's so much dumber than that. Every time conservatives post on the internet about this, they show that they just don't know what pronouns are. Because they'll just say things like, they'll be like, get wrecked, libs. Trump is your president. No pronouns. No trans for everyone. No, no DEI. And it's like, wait, hold on. Go back. You said no pronouns? What the fuck does that mean? No pronouns. Like, what do you mean no pronouns? Or, like, if you ask a conservative, like, what are your preferred pronouns? They'll be like, I don't have pronouns. Donald Trump literally said that. He literally said that. He was like, I don't have pronouns. I don't want pronouns. I don't want them. I don't want them. And it's like, you're saying I don't want them. I don't want them. I is a fucking pronoun. And again, it's been years of this. Like, the congratulations song that I went viral for came out like 5 years ago. And it was an old talking point at that point, but it's so old now that it still happens. Every time a conservative wants to talk about neo-pronouns and their, like, rejection of the idea of neo-pronouns, they show that, like, before we can even get to the conversation on why neo-pronouns really aren't that big of a deal and why it's actually easier to adopt than you think it is, and, like, why referring to a singular person as they is actually not as weird as you think it is, before we can even get into that, we have to be like, dude, why do you guys not know what pronouns are? Why do you not know what pronouns are? And I'm sorry, if we're going to talk about the fact that they don't know what pronouns are, we also have to just go into the fact of, like, the general illiteracy of these people. Like, it is just a basic fact that conservative people, by and large, can't spell words or write competently. There are entire accounts that are devoted to just reading conservative comments because it's so reliable that they will be written like someone who failed fifth grade English, like someone who just never really developed the ability to write competently, to, like, they don't have any grasp on really basic grammar or spelling. They can never spell your correctly or any version of there. It's completely out of their grasp. Two as well. Like they don't really know when there should be two O's and when there should be one O ever. And that, those are like the ones that you'll see all the time, but it gets so much worse than that. Like the amount of times I'll see a conservative posting something on the internet that has like so many baffling typos that I'm just like, did you proofread this and just go like good enough? Or, and it makes sense. Like, because again, it's not that they disagree with neo-pronouns. It's that they don't know what pronouns are. They don't know how to spell words. They don't know what basic punctuation and grammar is. And this should not come as a surprise to anyone, because by and large, another huge belief and position of conservative Christians is that the education system is woke and that education is bad. They have like a firmly anti-intellectual, anti-academic, anti-educational bias, where they genuinely believe that like being well-educated is a path to sin and is going to lead you off the good path. It's something that they are actually proud of. So when I say these people are colossally, historically, unfathomably stupid, I mean like they wear that as a badge of pride. They literally know that that Donald Trump said, "I love the poorly educated," and they were like, "He's talking about me, and I'm proud of that." And again, just such a hard position to be respectful of, right? Am I being rude when I say, cool, you are really uneducated and like really unintelligent, when that seems to be something that you're proud of? It's so weird to be like, I'm really proud of the fact that like I barely know how to read, I barely know how to write, and I really did everything I could to avoid what my teachers were trying to teach me. But also, if you call me stupid, I'm gonna like be very offended by that. Why would you? Why would you? The guy that you vote for calls you stupid. Why the fuck would you care if I call you stupid? Few more things on the list, and then we'll get to the TikTok digital studio audience. Oh my God. Okay, few more things. Here we go. The general inability or unwillingness to fact check things. Just to fact check anything. Like somebody posts a meme and thousands of people like it. They repost it. They share it to their story, and nobody thinks like, should I go check this? You know, should I actually go check if this is real? When they see a video of Donald Trump put a 250-foot tall statue of Jesus on the White House lawn, they don't think, should I make sure that, should I actually check if this is AI or not? They just, you know, and that thing, like they just can't tell when something's AI. And again, I have fallen prey to this. I think everyone has on the internet, especially in the modern age with so much AI, with so much misinformation. Occasionally, I will share something that I thought was credible because it was coming from a source that I trusted. And I checked a couple different sources and they all seem to be saying the same thing. And I'll post it. And later that day, someone in my comments will be like, actually, this was found out to be AI, or this was actually like fact checked and this is not actually true. And I'll go check, you know, like more sources and find out it's not true. And what I do every single time that happens is I delete the post. I just get rid of it. But conservatives, every time they post something like that and you go like, dude, this is so clearly fake. Like this is very, very obviously fake. They just go like, oh, well, who cares? Donald Trump can get on TV and say, the economy's doing great. Gas prices are under $2 a gallon. All the grocery prices are down. And it's like, this is something that you should be able to just go, wait a minute, I got gas earlier today and it wasn't under $2. That means he's lying to me. Like, it's not a difficult process of critical thought that you should have to engage with in order to understand that it's a lie. They were told that they were going to get that $5,000 Doge check. They didn't get that check. They're never gonna get that check. And they're never going to care about that. Even though it's like, that's proof that you were just straight up lied to. Right now, they're all waiting for a $2,000 tariff check, even though they don't understand that even if they were getting a tariff check, they're not going to. That check isn't happening. But even if they were getting a tariff check, they've already paid for the tariff. So they would just be, it would be like a tax refund. It's like, you've already paid for the tariffs in the form of higher prices. All of the prices that he keeps telling you are down, but are actually higher, those are the tariffs you're paying. So even if he did send you $2,000, he would just be sending you back some of the money that you've already paid in the form of higher prices. But that is actually too complex of a a concept for them to understand, but like, they're not going to get this $2,000 check, so it doesn't really matter, and it's not going to matter to them. But then something like, you know, they watch the White House being destroyed, it doesn't send up red flags for them, they don't go, oh man, that's actually like a really crazy thing, they just go, Obama built a $376 million basketball court. What, guys? Just like, the second you heard that, the moment somebody told you, did you know Obama built a $376 million taxpayer-funded basketball court at the White House? You should be smart enough to go, that sounds not true. $376 million, I think you could build like a 30,000-seat arena, and I don't think there's a 30,000-seat basketball arena at the White House. I'm pretty sure there's not. And then if you bothered to just, again, fact check, if you just bother to look it up and just go, that sounds a little fishy, and look it up and look at the basketball court and see that it's like a taped out basketball court on top of a tennis court that already existed, then you should really be able to go, okay, I don't think there's any possible way that cost $376 million. And then you should start thinking, okay, what was it though? Because this was on CNN, right? CNN was talking about Obama spending $370 million, but they were actually very specific in that story that they were talking about a long renovation plan for White House renovations that was going to tally about $370 million. And those funds were approved by Congress during the George W. Bush administration. It wasn't even an Obama thing. It was just something that Congress had approved before he was ever elected president. And it was just happening during his presidency. And the reason why no one cared about it is because it was approved. It was something that Congress approved. It was something that our elected officials voted on and approved. The problem with the fucking ballroom is it wasn't run by anybody. He just said, I'm doing this shit. I'm just going to tear down half of the White House and build a fucking $300 million ballroom, and there's nothing you can do to stop me. And that's my list, okay? So that's why. That's why, you know? And again, I know I'm an angry, mean asshole sometimes, and I know that it's like not super fun or encouraging or that's a short list. And do you see like how I like what, how outside of lying to myself or lying to those people, I don't know how to engage with it without being the way I'm being. Like, the only honest response I can have is, holy fucking shit, you guys are so impossibly stupid. And I don't, I don't look at that as me thinking I'm right about everything, or me thinking I'm the smartest person in the world, or even necessarily me just being unreasonably rude. I kind of just look at it as me being honest. And that's the really hard thing, is it's like, I'm telling the truth when I say Elon Musk did a completely unambiguous, emphatic Sieg Heil at the inauguration in January of 2025. That's just a fact. I'm just telling the truth. I'm not doing it to be rude. I'm not doing it to make myself sound smarter than other people. I'm just saying something that is objectively, factually correct. I feel like the solution that's being posited to me is like, you better get better at just lying to yourself and lying to other people in order to survive the insanity of the world you live in. And I don't know, like, even though it's eating me up inside, even though it's kind of decimating my mental and physical health, I don't know if I'm capable of convincing myself to engage with that level of dishonesty. It's kind of like how, as an atheist, I tell theistic people all the time that, like, I can't just trick myself into believing there's a God again. Like, when people pose Pascal's wager to me and go, like, well, if there is a God, wouldn't it be good to hedge your bets and you know, believe in him just in case so that you don't go to hell? Well, I wouldn't be able to trick myself into doing that even if I wanted to. And also, I don't think an omnipotent God could be tricked by me, like, pretending to believe in him or something. I can't convince myself in that situation to believe something I don't believe. And with this situation, I don't think even if I wanted to, I could convince myself to not be as upset about it as I am. I think that my reaction is the honest one, even if it means that sometimes I'm kind of meaner than I used to be. I saw somebody post on the internet the other day, sometimes your healed version of you is meaner. And I don't know. I don't know if this is me healing or if this is me more healed than I used to be, but it is honest. And at least I can stick to that. So that's my piece for this episode. What's up, TikTok Digital Studio audience? We got 230 people here. Thoughts, questions, things that you would like to add to the list that make you feel insane. By the way, if you're out there watching on YouTube, this portion of the show that I do with the TikTok Digital Studio audience, a big chunk of this gets edited out and it only goes to Patreon. So if you want to watch the full length of the show, go to patreon.com/AustinArcher and it will have the full unedited version of the show with all of this. I'm even going to edit out a lot of the first half too. So it's going to be a pretty significantly condensed down version. If you would like more of this episode, the fullness of this episode, for $1 a month at patreon.com/AustinArcher, you can go check that out. Okay. Christina Nomadak asks, are there any Democrats in power that you like? Yeah, absolutely. In fact, this gives me an opportunity to talk about the whole, like, the Democrats folded and why did they fold when they had leverage during the shutdown? Why would they do that if they were just going to fold? First of all, they were always going to fold. You can't really negotiate with people who don't have a conscience. As I've established in this episode, Republicans literally don't care about fucking anything. Like, you can't threaten them with anything because they don't care about anything. So you can't be like, hey, people are going to starve if you don't come to the table and negotiate with us. They're like, fucking cool. Let them starve. We don't care. And so as the people with functioning consciences, it was always going to be the Democrats who were going to be like, okay, fine, fuck. All that being said, it was 8 Democrats who folded. I don't think that we talk about this enough. First of all, I feel like when the Democrats were holding the line, I didn't see nearly enough left-leaning content creators, I mean, myself included, I wasn't even really talking about it, talking about the fact that, like, hey, we on the left are really good at criticizing our elected officials. We're really good at holding them accountable when they fall short of what we want them to be doing. We're really good at, like, calling them out. We're not good. We actually suck at complimenting them when they do a good job. We're really, really bad at acknowledging their victories and acknowledging their shows of, you know, strength and courage. And while they were doing that, like, that move to be like, hey, we are not going to let you move forward with this, and we are going to, like, you guys need to come and negotiate with us, and we will shut the government down, because the Republicans wanted to double and triple everyone's healthcare premiums needlessly. Those Democrats who were holding the line, who were the last line of defense between the Republicans and all of us having to pay, you know, double and triple what we already pay for healthcare, those Democrats were doing a good job. They were doing a heroic thing. They were doing the only thing they could do. And it wasn't all of our elected officials who just folded and went, oh, well, let's just stop. It was 8 people. And when you look at the 8 people who did it, it's like the 8 most expected Democrats. So I think we need to be clear about that, that, like, the majority of the House Democrats did not want to fold, still wanted to hold the line, and wanted to, like, let the Republicans hang themselves with that rope. Like, they were like, hey, if Donald Trump wants to shut down air travel right before Thanksgiving, let's let him. If Donald Trump wants to refuse to pay out SNAP benefits, even though we have a $6 billion reserve to pay out SNAP benefits, even in the case of a government shutdown, let him do that. And let people understand that it's him that's doing it. I still think that some good things came out of this government shutdown. I think a lot of people understood the Republicans want to make everyone pay more in healthcare, and the Democrats are trying to stop them from doing that. Peter Harrison Gar says, if MTG can admit she's wrong, we all can. I wouldn't jump on the MTG train just quite yet. I have this guy that DMs me all the time every time Tucker Carlson says something that, like, makes sense, and he goes, what do you think about Tucker Carlson these days, Austin? Because I wrote a song of several years ago called Nobody Cool Likes Tucker Carlson. And every time he sends me a clip of Tucker Carlson saying something that kind kind of makes sense and goes, what do you think of Tucker Carlson now? I always say, fuck Tucker Carlson. Like, that's, I always just go, fuck Tucker Carlson. Like, no new thoughts. I haven't changed my thinking on him. Fuck MTG. Like, I think, like, it's like the amount of damage that a person like Tucker Carlson has done, the amount of damage that a person like Candace Owens has done, the amount of damage that a person like Marjorie Taylor Greene has done to the culture and to society cannot be undone by like one or two statements that are semi-based. When It Rains said, I grapple with if they're really this ignorant or if it's just weaponized incompetence to own the libs. That's kind of the theme of the entire show. So we'll just sort of use that as the last comment to bring it all home, because that is the question with a lot of this stuff. And it's, I think it's sort of a mixture of both, right? Because we talked about all of these instances where it's like, there's no way you don't know that. When you say, oh, you know, how can we only have one day to honor veterans, but a whole month to honor queer people? Like, I know that your comments are full of people who are correcting you. Also, this is not a new like slogan that people like you like to say, and we've been correcting you on this for years. Like, there's just no way you've never heard the rejoinder, which is, we do have multiple full months to celebrate veterans and multiple holidays. You should be celebrating them if indeed you actually care about them. I know you've heard that rejoinder. So it brings up this question of like, are they actually just ignorant, or is it weaponizing? Are they pretending to be this ignorant? And I actually think it's a mixture of both, because I actually think it requires like an intense level of stupidity to be sold out on an ideology where on some level, you know, every single one of your positions is rooted in a lie, and they know they're lying, but they do it anyway. They know that the lie means they're helping and supporting Nazis, and they do it anyway. And so there's really only like two options left. The only two options left are like, you're so incomprehensibly stupid, you don't even, like, you can't even like make sense of the fact that you don't even believe the things you pretend to believe. Your entire life is wasted on pretending to think things you don't actually think. That's option number one. Option number two is, you're actually just evil. You're actually just a person who knows that secretly you really are just that racist, just that misogynistic. You really are just down with Nazis, and you can't say any of that out loud. So you just make these disingenuous arguments that you know are disingenuous, because you're just trying to push the agenda you're actually fighting for, which is just like, I want a world that is run by people who look and think like me. I want a white ethnostate to live in, where the governing document that governs over that society is the Holy Bible, and where everyone else is shipped off to death camps, and that's actually the world I want to live in. And those are the two options. You're either just insanely stupid or insanely evil. Okay, that's going to do it for the show. People Pleaser is written, edited, hosted, and produced by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me. If you want the full unedited version of this show, go to patreon.com/AustinArcher. Shout out to the Patreon patrons one more time. $1 a month to sign up over there. $10 gets you an entire year. Go check it out. It's linked in the description. Thank you to the TikTok Digital Studio audience for your insights and commentary. Thank you guys for hanging out. Really, really appreciate you. Go check out the Patreon. Go check out my YouTube channel. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. While we're talking about YouTube channel, subscribe to the Wunner Podcast, the podcast I do with Kramer England over on YouTube. Check that out. It's a lot easier to listen to and to watch and enjoy than this podcast is. It's a lot lighter and just and more fun. At least I enjoy it. I enjoy doing it more because it's easier. Okay, that's it. That's it for now. We'll see you on the next one. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And bye-bye.